So welcome to this week's edition of Blues Talk, where today I'm joined with Dave and with Rob, and we're going to discuss today the matches at the weekend against Saracens and look forward to next Saturday's match against Connacht. So lads, great experience over in Wembley, Dave, 45,000.
Absolutely brilliant, really enjoyed it. It's an incredible stadium, it really is. I don't want to knock anything that's happening here, but Wembley Stadium just knocks the Aviva and even Croke Park into a cocked hat. Just the ease of access, ease of getting out, being able to bring your pint to your seat, and the amount of space in the stadium just makes it brilliant. And the best thing about it is there's been no sacrifices in terms of the viewing experience. You're close to the pitch, but the camber is such that you can still see the pitch from fairly close to the sideline.
Yeah, but I mean, the one thing I didn't like about it was totally manufactured, the atmosphere. You know, they played songs during it, they tried to encourage their own crowd to sing. And our 5,000 or 4,000, whatever numbers was there, but we made one hell of a din.
Well, Saris went to great expense to get Right Said Fred to write that Stand Up for the Saracens song that they played. Yeah. I mean, talk about a waste of money.
Wasn't there, so can't really comment on Wembley, but the fans were absolutely fantastic. Came across really loud and clear on the telly, and I'm sure the players got a bit of a lift from that, because the sport was magnificent.
They came over to actually clap us.
Yeah.
And more, like, I was surprised the Saracens players actually came over and gave us a round of applause as well.
Very gracious.
Yeah, absolutely. But just talking about the match, I mean, like, the defence in the last 10 minutes was just exceptional.
It was back to Leinster at their best, I think, under Kurt McWilkin, against Quinns, and that march to the Heineken Cup in 2009. Great to see. You know, discipline came back. We were giving away penalties like fairly cheaply, but they copped on at the end and just made the tackles, and Saris just weren't getting anywhere.
Yeah, it was for the last 5 or 6 minutes, they seemed to have worked out finally what Burdos was looking for. And it was just simple. They made no attempt to contest for the ball. They just stopped the man. Because if the man wasn't getting past, the ball wasn't getting past. Yeah. And that's all they needed to do. All they had to do was keep them outside the 10. Mm. And that's what they did.
Yeah, and it was just great to see that confidence that they seemed to have in the system, that they knew what to do, and that they knew if Saris were going to spread it wide, they weren't going to get through, they weren't going to make a line break.
But just to see Sexton back, I mean, he was just brilliant, wasn't he? Oh. You know, to get 25 points and his sideline conversion and the way he just read that try. I mean, we can have a look at it here.
Yeah, Sexton's try was just it was a lovely move from start to finish. I mean, it's good, but it's slow enough ball.
Strauss, who picked was a turnover there from Strauss.
Yeah. No, what happens here is the up and under, right? And Horgan, who did well all day.
Shaggy's offside.
Yeah, but look at Strauss here. He's down on it. He's down on it like a ferret. Now, if we stop it here, right? If we look at the amount of players gathered into that area, right? There's a good, you know, 8, 9, 10 Saracens players. So there's got to be space somewhere. Sure. And Redden has realised this. And it's going wide with pace now. And then you've got what Leinster always want, a one-on-one. You know, Nasiba goes past his man.
McFadden's great hands here.
Yeah, lovely hands from McFadden.
Super running line from Sexton.
Yeah, just leaves Sexton to use the pace we were discussing last week to get in at the corner.
But to read that.
Yeah.
For Sexton, he made the pass, and he read where that ball was coming back on the inside.
Yeah. And there's Reece Ruddock with some lad. No, but it was a good move from start to finish. I mean, because it showed awareness from all the players. Redden had to show awareness to see that it was congested on the inside. But when it's congested on the inside, it means there's space outside. So he realised that and got it out wide quick. And then Darce did exactly the same again. We can see it here again. Here's Darce. He spins it wider again. So it's all going wide and it's all going with pace. And then you've got the one-on-one. I think Strettle would be disappointed there, Rob.
Who's up there, sorry?
Strettle with his tackle on the theatre.
Yeah.
Oh, he burned him for pace on the outside.
He did, yeah. But look, if you look at
just
it here,
got him,
he just gets the hand on him.
And the Seawood did great just to avoid going into a touch there.
Yeah, he did very well. Delighted for Sexton. I mean, he's had a hard season so far, so he has. And to get that try.
Great try, but again, with the boot, and that conversion was the difference in the end.
Dricker was happy.
He was pleased enough.
It was almost Ollie Campbell-esque, the kicking performance.
It certainly was. It was.
At the end of the match was this 2 points.
Absolutely. Yeah. Does anyone know what the story with the red posts was?
Very confusing, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I have no idea. Red posts against red seats. Mm. Maybe they were trying to gain some advantage against us. It didn't really work for them, though.
Certainly not. Not Sexton's 10 out of 10 or 7 out of 7.
7 out of 7.
100%.
Mm. Yeah. Because Hugard didn't have a great performance with the boot.
No.
And there he just nails it. Absolutely beautiful.
Right over the H.
Yeah. And the great thing is, although we won't see it here, is from the restart, Kearney takes a beautiful catch from the restart.
But I thought Kearney and Horgan in particular's fielding was absolutely brilliant at, on Saturday. Like, they just fielded absolutely everything. And from every start, we seem to win the ball, you know, which obviously is putting them in the back foot when we're kicking off to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, they showed the old Gaelic football skills.
Yeah, definitely. And so we've got back row is just, again, absolutely amazing again. Heaslip was just, he's just becoming one of the best back row players in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And just the consistency with which he's performing them, it's just, you know, really intense, dominating the game, but he's doing it week in, week out.
Like, there was one time he got the ball and he kicked it up the sideline. And he sprinted after it, and he still made the tackle back to put
the guy
back
in. And we got the throw on the line again. Yeah.
Oh, he's very much turning into the complete player now. Although they're a team I'd like to avoid. Harry Nordicke is playing on top form at the moment. Heaslip is playing on top form. For a neutral, wouldn't it be lovely to see those two up against one another?
In the final.
But I mean, just to see the two of them, it's just something I'd love to see. The two best number eights in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, so McCullen's back. Cullen had a 10-minute cameo. I thought it was important that he came on, especially in those crucial last 10 minutes, where we needed, you know, a leader on the pitch to steady the ship and to say no more penalties. I mean, we were hammered by penalties. You know, in the second half it was 8-2 against us in penalties.
And that's really how Sarri's came back into it. I think we took the foot off the gas a little bit after the try, but yeah, the discipline was a bit poor. And I suppose you could go back to the Racing game as well. That's, you know, how they were able to stay in touch with us as well.
But I mean, Berdos was just... I mean, I thought he whistled both teams off the pitch.
I don't think he was good for either side, or biased in any way.
He was going back to a few years ago where it was liability to have the ball to go into contact. I mean, many times we said it during the game, that every time someone from the attacking team took the ball into contact, there was a ruck formed. Generally, the penalty went against the attacking team.
It's like we said earlier, that last 5 minutes... what was good about it was Leinster had absolutely no interest in the ball. They were just stopping the man, didn't try to contest for the ball. There was nothing for... I mean, they might have been offside, a bit wide, but there was nothing for Berdos to immediately ping them for.
Absolutely.
They just made the tackles, rolled away, got up again, got into line, made a tackle and put them down.
And relied on them to make the mistake that ultimately...
but like, you know, and Venter's comments was laughable, really.
I think Brendan Venter knew what he was saying, because everybody today is talking about what Brendan Venter said. Very few people are looking at, you know.
Well, his team had 30 phases, and
and couldn't go anywhere with them. You know, it's taking the pressure off a little bit off himself and off his players as well. You know, so it mightn't be the shooting his mouth off thing that we think it is. It might be a bit of wiliness there,
possibly. But I think he was fairly emotional about it too. It was a bit hard.
He did have a big thick look in him.
He was coming out with some awful nonsense, though. You know, the pending death of rugby. You know.
It's a bit sensationalist, really. But I thought Schmidt put him down quite well.
Oh, back in his box.
Yeah, really did. Yeah.
Well, that's what Schmidt said. Maybe Brendan, instead of giving State of the Nation addresses on Rugby Union, you're better off looking at why his team went 30 phases laterally without breaking
the line.
Can't
make a line break,
yeah.
So we're going to have Claremont now in December, back-to-back matches. Very tough.
Oh, rock hard.
Hugely tough.
Yeah. Hugely tough. Clermont are the best team in France, you know. They're French champions, and they've got some incredible players, and we've seen them up close before. And they won't make the mistakes they made the last time, so they won't. So we have to go that extra bit.
I still think it's a three horse race, you know, with Racing winning as well. And Racing on 4 points, Clermont on 5, us on 9. Sarri's basically out of the world.
We have to go to Clermont, and we have to go to Paris. I mean, not easy destinations by any means.
I think we've got to win 3 of those 4 matches.
Yeah, I don't even think the Clermont home game is a banker.
No.
Depending on what, certainly not.
So, moving on to next week's match against Connacht. So, you know, we've lost our last 2 matches down at the sports grounds. Always a difficult place to go and play.
It's back to the bread and butter of the Magners League. We've had 3 great performances, 3 great wins against 3 top sides, but... the fact still remains that our Magners League position is still a bit of a disaster. You know, who would have thought that we'd be going down to Connacht with them above us in the table?
Yeah. A couple of times we've gone down there. I remember 2 years ago we went down and we rested a load of our players I mean, we played a second string team, and they really turned us over. And you know, they kind of, I'm sure they had it up on the dressing room wall.
They nearly beat us in the RDS last year.
Connacht away is the toughest. It's probably the toughest, with the exception maybe of Munster away. It's the toughest game we'll face this season. I mean, it always is. I mean, you know, I might have a bit of a down on them for their application, but it doesn't mean that they're not a good side with good players who can do serious damage.
They're a different entity this year.
I think maybe Elwood has put a bit more honesty into them, all right. But, you know, it's always going to be a hard game against Connacht. You go down there to that crowd, the crowd are howling at you. The weather's not always great. You know, if you're not really, really focused, it will bite you on the ass. And it has done in the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, like, they've shown that they can go away and win. And they've won a couple of matches at home as well. They drew against Ulster. Like, they're a different team than they were last year. And I thought, you know, they've got good guys coming through. Cronin, you know, he's a fine player.
They have confidence and they have belief, I think, this year.
Muldoon is back.
Yeah, Muldoon is back. Johnny Concrete, he's back too.
Well, Muldoon is just an incredible player for them. Massive leader for them. When he's on the pitch, the rest of them lift themselves. He lifts them.
But he didn't look like a guy that played for the perennial bottom, you know, basement team in the Magners League when he was playing for Ireland against the All Blacks.
No, absolutely not. No, but that's the standard he is. Yeah. I mean, I think he's that good a player. I mean, he has turned down moves to all the other provincial sides. Everyone would have him in a second.
Absolutely.
But to be fair to him, he's very, very loyal to Connacht, you know, and he always gives his best. Perhaps that's why he gets injured every now and again, because he really leaves everything out on the pitch. You know, I think he's a great player. I think he's a great leader. Yeah. And I'd much rather he was unavailable for them on Saturday.
So a new feature for Blues Talk TV, where Miriam is going to bring us up to date with all the results for the Magners League teams in the Heineken Cup.
Thank you, Jason. In Pool 3, Osprey has kicked off the second round on Friday with a stunning 27-16 victory over London Irish and Swansea and have thrown the group wide open. Munster now lead the pool on 6 points after a brilliant 6-try victory over a Toulon side which included Dr. Phil and Johnny Wilkinson at Thomond Park in front of 26,000. Ulster lost 35-15 away to Biarritz after a below-par performance considering their high-profile South African summer signings and their Magners League form. There were also poor results from the two Magners League teams in Pool 1. Cardiff lost away to Castres 27-20, while Edinburgh threw away a lead in Murrayfield to the Northampton Saints and went down 31-27. The Magners League teams in Pool 5 did not fare any better. Treviso were outclassed in Perpignan, while the Scarlets shipped 46 points in Welford Road to a rampant Leicester Tigers. Reigning Heineken Cup champions Toulouse beat a dogged Dragons team in Newport 40-19 after scoring 3 second-half tries, and the pool's other Magners League team Glasgow suffered a 38-26 loss in Adams Park to two-time champions Wasps. In Leinster's pool, Clermont scored a losing bonus point in Paris to Racing Metro, which leaves the group of death still wide open. Leinster are on 9 points, Clermont on 5, with Racing by no means out of contention on 4, and the back-to-back games in December will be crucial. Irish coach Declan Kidney named 12 Leinster players in a 34-man squad for the Autumn Internationals. Jordan Murphy and Shane Jennings were the surprise omissions, with Leo Cullen, Luke Fitzgerald and Gerry Flannery remaining with their clubs to recuperate from injuries. And back to Jason.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it a bit of time. So why don't we talk a bit more about the Saracens game? I mean, you know, I just think for us to go away, it just showed an enormous bottle for us to go over there into London, play in front of a big crowd in Wembley, and to basically, you know, dig out a match that was there that we could, you know, a couple of years ago we would have lost that game. But we had the dog and determination, you know, when we played against Harlequins there a couple of years ago. Like, it was that kind of steel that we showed again this weekend. It's
the first time they've lost at Wembley. And I think they were at top of the Premiership before last week.
Certainly close enough to it. I think it was an outstanding performance. I think it was it Neil Francis wrote in the Tribune yesterday that the last 10 minutes will go down as good at 10 minutes as Leinster have ever played in the Heineken Cup, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. Mm. I think that's up there with the Quinn's away performance and my personal favourite performance against Clonetley in the Magners League.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
That won it for us.
That was, you know, a real, where the guys had to be honest. You had to be able to see the honesty in those players, and they just dogged it out and got the result that their effort deserved.
I think what was good to see as well, though, wasn't just the dog and the bite and bollock. There was a bit of flair, you know, as we saw with a fantastic try there as well, that they were able to combine that as well.
That was, yes, no, that's true. That's often been an accusation that in our Heineken Cup winning year that might have been not entirely inaccurate to say that there was a bit too much dog and not enough panther.
But I think
there's a bit more panther this
Schmidt
year.
Schmidt seems to be bringing that to the
yeah,
team this
year.
The
balance, getting the balance.
It's like going back to say the first year that Cheka was in charge when, you know, when Noxie was there, that the backs wanted to fling the ball around. Like, I read an interview today, I think it was with Leo Cullen, and he said, you know, that Smith is after bringing an awful lot of new initiatives back into the team, and it was kind of a hidden criticism of Cheka. Well, I think he appreciates all that he did for the club, but he kind of said, you know, we were a bit of a boring team, and we were just kind of, you know, kick the letter off the balls and then get the ball down the end of the
still
pitch.
Put up the jumper, yeah.
Whereas now, you know, you see Carney wanting to run the ball back. Now, I wish he would just have a little bit more vision and pass the ball that little bit more. But he is starting to run it back. He's not just kicking it back into the corners.
Yeah, I'm sure the new law interpretations obviously are aiding that. But you're right, it is good to see that his first recourse doesn't seem to just be to lift the ladder off.
Yeah. We're certainly, our back three is a more potent force on the counter-attack than it was before last year anyway. I think Cheka, the team, the way that Michael Cheka played reflected the things he had to do with Leinster rugby to get it going forward. There had to be a lot of discipline, and he had to be quite rigid, because we all know the stories, but he had to be a disciplinarian, he had to be very rigid, and I think the team reflected that. I mean, we played much better rugby last year, although we came up short. We did play a more expansive game last year because he felt he could maybe loosen the reins a bit, and Schmidt obviously is benefiting from that because the younger players are ingrained in that professional ethic.
Yeah, and you know, I think sort of that if we had, you know, if we go back sort of where we are, just comparing say Saracens and where they are against sort of us and benchmark, you know, they're in a kind of similar position where we were just maybe 5 or 6 years ago before the Czech era, where they're kind of a new, I know they're a club that's been around for a long time, but they haven't really, you know, caught the imagination of people over in London when they've moved to Vicarage Road. They're still only getting 5,000 or 6,000 at the matches. When they move to Wembley, they get 50,000. Similar to kind of what was happening with us when we were playing in Donnybrook. We'd occasionally play in Lansdowne and get a big crowd, but never really built on it.
I think what they have to do is the marketing team has to have faith that what they're doing is the right thing. They're trying to increase the support for the club and increase the interest for rugby in whatever geographical area that they finally settle on. The existing supporters have to be patient. I mean, there was periods when, during kind of like the time when Leinster was building, where we were going, oh, why are they doing that? Oh, why are they doing this? Why are we moving to the RDS? That's a stupid thing to do. And you, but you know, they were right. It did build up the team. It did build up an ethos. It did build up an identity that we feel, not a brand identity, an identity amongst ourselves as Leinster supporters. And that's what I think Saracens are trying to do. But it's a long process, and it can be a painful process sometimes.
But I think Smith is lucky that he doesn't have to do that.
No.
You know, it's already there for him, and now he can just concentrate on matters on the pitch.
They do have the benefit, obviously, of some South African sugar daddies. Now, I know they could turn around and say, we've got the RFU paying our top players, but equally, you know, there is a bit of the Man City-Chelsea effect there with them.
I had some South African sugar once. Her daddy didn't like them.
Well, on that note, we'll say good luck, and thanks very much for watching. Cheers.